Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
afternoon, and welcome to another segment of Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. It's election season. Today is October 23rd, which means we are 10 days away from November 2nd's midterm elections. Midterm elections simply refer to general elections that are held 2 years after the quadrennial, meaning four-year elections of our president. These elections determine the gubernatorial, congressional, and Senate seat holders. Today we will speak with two of the candidates running for the U.S. House District Seat 30, currently held by Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson. This race is one of the hottest races on the Texas ballot. In the race, we have a Democrat, a Tea Party Republican, and a Libertarian. It doesn't get much better than that. But let me begin today by introducing my co-host, author, poet, and motivational speaker, A.J. Houston. Good afternoon, A.J.
Hey, what's up, Carrie? How you doing?
I am good. Besides the thunderstorm going on, we disconnected our Libertarian, Mr. J.B. Oswald. We've got a call back to him. He just tried to contact us, and we're going to try to dial back out to him. And we're waiting on Mr. Broden. We've spoken to his camp twice already, waiting for him. I'm understanding that he's exhausted, and I understand all of that. But he was confirmed as of yesterday, and we're waiting for him to call in. We also made an attempt to invite Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson, and I received a call from her camp on yesterday. They said they respectfully declined, but did not give a reason why she would not be a part of the show. I'm going to attempt to dial out to Mr. J.B. Oswald, who is our Libertarian. If he's the only one that shows up, I'm going to say that I think everybody should vote for him because at least come and talk to us about the issues. I think he's on the line now. Good afternoon.
Yes, hello.
How you doing, Mr. Oswald?
I am on my cell phone.
Yes,
would you like to call me back on my house phone?
Okay, we will be glad to do that because we're in the middle of a thunderstorm, so that would probably be a better reception. We'll dial out to you right now.
Yes, okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. So if Mr. Oswald is the only one that will appear, then that says a lot about our candidate. But I'm not going to tell anybody that I'm not upset that I got a confirmation from Mr. Broden, and he did not appear as he said he would on time.
Yes, this is J.B. Oswald.
Okay, hi, Mr. Oswald.
How you doing?
Okay, so you're a Libertarian, and you're running for U.S. House District Seat 30, currently held by Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson. Do you currently live in that district?
No, I do not. I live in Kerrville, Texas at the moment.
Kerrville, Texas. And I understand from you in our pre-interview on yesterday that that is the only district in Texas that you don't have to live in to run for that office? Is that correct?
Well, that's what I've been told, and I was put on the ballot, so I think that must be true.
What do you think of that, AJ?
I'm sorry?
I was asking, what do you think of that?
Well, I'm saying it was most of the district was that way before, so, you know, it's still changes coming, but I don't see a problem with it if everybody's working the district and doing what needs to be done in the community.
But it's the only district in Texas, per Mr. Oswald, that you can do that.
But it's probably one of the largest districts in Texas, too.
Okay, I agree with that, and it does cover a lot of territory. I want to talk about some of the candidates that are basically running. Mr. Oswald, you're retired.
Yes.
Retired businessman and a retired Bell helicopter engineer. Is that not correct?
Yes, I had about 19 years with Bell Helicopter.
Yeah, 19 years with Bell Helicopter. What we know about Stephen Broden is he's somewhat of a Tea Party Republican who is a pastor of a congregation in, I think, the Fair Park area of Dallas, and I believe his church is called Fair Park Bible Fellowship. And he's a sought-after speaker from what we understand. And He is known for speaking at Tea Party rallies, and some of his views we definitely wanted to speak to him today about, because some of them seem somewhat radical, even though he has been endorsed by one of the Dallas newspapers. We wanted to speak with him about a comment that they made prior to giving him that endorsement, and see what his response to that will be. I hate to speak about Mr. Broden without him being present. I really want to give him an opportunity to call in before I began to say all the things that I would like to actually ask him about. So I don't want to go that route. What do you say, AJ?
Well, I'm saying I think since he's confirmed, I think he will call in, because I know my power went out of my house a few minutes ago. It was only out for a minute, but it came back on. So I'm actually trying to get the computer back up and everything so I can actually be in the chat room when people, you know, want to chat or if they have any additional questions.
Okay. What I'm going to do, because he did confirm, I'm going to call his camp while we're live on the air, and they're going to be able to tell us where Mr. Broden is. Just 1 second as we dial out to Mr. Broden and see if he plans to be with us today before we begin to discuss the topics on today's show. Give me 1 second as I dial their number. Okay, this is the camp of Stephen Broden, and I've spoken with them today already. We were waiting for him to call in. And
welcome to Verizon Wireless. The number you dialed has been changed, disconnected, or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and try your call again. Announcement 2, switch 4119-2.
Oh.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The number you dialed has been changed, disconnected, or is no longer in service. If you feel... Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The number you dialed has been changed, disconnected, or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and try your call again. Announcement 2, switch 4119-2. Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The number you dialed...
We'll wait till you call in. Hello? Hello, are you there?
This is J.B. Oswald.
I think she's having a problem with the switchboard right now. So, that doesn't usually happen. But, you know, we know that, you know, storms bring technical problems sometimes. So we're good.
Listen, I'm glad to hear y'all are getting rain. I wish I was.
Hey, we all need some rain.
I'll be happy to stand by.
Completely gone blank. Is everyone still on the line?
Yeah.
For some reason, the thunderstorm is affecting the dial out. We'll try one more time before I begin to say what I think of him not appearing as planned. And this is my last attempt. And from there, we will go into addressing our guest that did show up. And I apologize, Mr. Oswald, for the delay, but I do not want to speak for Mr. Broden. And I don't want to...
I'm happy to stand by.
Okay.
Hines.
Thank you.
Broden for Congress.
Hi, this is Carrie Hines with Center Stage, and we're live on air, and we were wondering if Mr. Broden was going to show up as promised.
Well, I have contacted him, and he was is not able to be on today. He didn't know.
He's not going to what?
He's not going to be on today.
Okay.
And you'll have
we can barely hear you.
Yeah, you caught me at a really hard time. He's not going to be on the show today. And
so he will not show up today.
No, and he, you know,
I can barely hear you.
Aware of it. And you'll have to contact the office on Monday and talk to them.
Okay. Did you all not confirm that you all had put this on the calendar on yesterday via email?
I don't have that information. That's
I have it available right in front of me, and it was confirmed on yesterday. That's all I'm trying to say. I thank you very much for your time, but I did not want to speak for Mr. Broden and did not give him an opportunity to address any of the issues. I would not have booked him had he not confirmed, but I thank you very much for your time.
Thanks.
Okay, that said, that gives me carte blanche to say whatever I feel about some of the issues that Mr. Broden has said, AJ. I really don't think that it would be fair not to mention all the questions that we had for him. And if he chooses not to address them, then at least we have the opportunity to state them. Do you agree? AJ Houston.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can now. I'm sorry. We're in the middle of a thunderstorm here, y'all. I apologize, and the boards are going crazy. But I think we have the right to address all of the issues that Mr. Broden, that we would have asked Mr. Broden had he shown up today. And his camp did confirm via email, and they did not. Told me that he was not going to be here, and we called twice this morning to make confirmations, and we weren't told that he was going to be here. Mr. Broden has, in my opinion, been very radical in some of his views about certain things, almost unpastor-like. So we wanted to give him an opportunity to address his comments about overthrowing our government through violence and ask him how would an armed revolution help resolve any of the problems that we have in this country. We wanted to give him an opportunity to state that. But it's up to him. And so, you know, they're saying he's exhausted. Well, so am I. But, AJ, I want to be fair. So you're typically the calmer side, so... Do you agree?
Okay, I'm saying my suggestion is I'm saying we can actually talk with Mr. Oswald about some of the things that he's running for and some of the things that he would do to, I guess, to better the community in which he's running for. And then we can, you know, because there's a lot of things that Mr. Broden has actually put out there.
Okay. Mr. Oswald,
yeah.
Eddie Bernice Johnson has 9 terms. 18 years as Congresswoman, how could you better serve the constituents of District 30 than she already had?
I have a few pledges that I would like to make to the voters of District 30.
Okay.
And one of them refers to that, and I'll just state what it is. I will not serve over 2 terms.
Okay. So you believe in term limits?
I certainly do.
Okay.
I realize the argument both ways. If you stay in a job for some time, you learn better how to do it, no question about that. But my concept is that a representative should be a citizen, not a professional politician. And so you just go with the best you can with what somebody can do in a term or two, and then you turn it over to somebody else. And as I say, there's arguments both sides of it, of course, like most questions.
Okay. But you think overall the best thing is just to serve 2 terms?
Well, in my case, yes. There might be some other offices in which a different amount of time would be appropriate, but for a U.S. representative, yes, I think 2 terms would be it.
Okay. Let me address the incumbent, Eddie Bernice Johnson. And, again, I'm going to be fair and balanced, even though she did not confirm that she would be here, unlike Mr. Broden. But I still think it's the elephant in the room if we do not speak of the scholarship issue. Ms. Johnson, it appears that, you know, per her own admission at this point, that there were 23 scholarships that she allotted to family members and family members of top aides in her office. I think they totaled $31,000, and she has since paid back the $31,000, but it has become an issue in this race. I would love to have asked her the question about the scholarships, and I understand that she said she was not aware of the scholarships not being able to be allotted to certain people. I think she had made the comment also that there were no students in her district that qualified for these scholarships. What would you say to that, Mr. Oswald?
Well, I have slight knowledge of that. I've kept up with the controversy a little bit, and I don't really know enough about it to be very definitive, but I would say that this is not atypical for, not that unusual for a lot of politicians to get involved with things that suddenly they are maybe violating some of their own rules because of the situation. But if she has made restitution and she was really did not know of anybody in her district, which is a little hard to believe in my opinion, but she didn't. If she's honest about that, I take her at her word.
Okay. As far as abortion is concerned, how do you stand on that issue?
On abortion?
Yes, sir.
That's a very you really turn on the heat right off, don't you?
Because
okay.
I'm about to mention one of your candidates, or your running mate's comment. So that's why I led with that
okay.
one.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll be glad to make my comments.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I'll refer to a questionnaire that I was sent by an outfit called Liberty Institute.
Okay.
Which I pretty well think they have a axe to grind or a point of view on that. Their question to me in the interview, on the survey, was ban abortion except where it is necessary to prevent the death of the mother. And my choices were strongly favor, undecided, oppose, or strongly oppose. My answer was strongly oppose. Now, when their voter guide came out, the only information in the column where they find my strongly oppose is abortion ban. Those are the two words.
Mm-hmm.
That hardly reflects the same question that they asked me to answer on the survey. Now, my position on that is, and I'm a very serious Christian,
mm-hmm.
and I'm probably 100% opposite from a great many of my friends and fellow Christians, but my concept is that a fetus is not a human being until it's born. Therefore,
okay.
I have a little bit easier view of abortion. But this specific question would not allow for, say, abortion in the case of rape. And I certainly would support that.
Okay.
So by and large, I do not approve of abortion. I also do not approve of banning it, and therefore that's my position on it. I've
okay.
had a personal experience in which I had a choice about that,
mm-hmm.
and I did not choose the abortion route. But
okay.
that doesn't mean that there's no reason that it could never be done by somebody else.
Okay. I understand that your running mate, I shouldn't call him your running mate. Let's just say Mr. Broden. From what our research tells us, his stance was abortion is a form of racial genocide being committed by eugenicists. And we definitely wanted him to address that, but since he's not here, we'll just put it out there. That was his comment. So I don't know how to I'm not sure what he meant by it. I would love to have asked him, but
I would have loved to heard his answer also.
I would have too, but it looks like that's not going to happen today. But
I'm sorry that he felt necessary to bring the racial aspect into it, but so that is.
Yeah, that was it. That was his comment. AJ, do you want to jump in here, or do I get a chance to just run with it? Because I'm going to go with some of the other comments I've heard Mr. Broden make.
Well, I would like to ask Mr. Oswald first. It's what do you feel like need to be addressed to work in the community? If you were elected, what are some of the first things you would do?
You're talking about in the general, just in general?
Well, I'm saying to show that you're working in the community, what are some of the first things that you would do? Because, you know, there's
well,
a lot of...
I think it'll be helpful, Mr. AJ. I'm sorry I didn't get any last name.
Houston.
That I'll give you my concept of what a representative is.
Okay.
A concerned citizen, not a professional politician, who goes to Washington to legislate, pass or repeal laws, if indicated, that are best for the country. Don't vote for me if you want someone to just get something for District 30. How's that for a clear statement?
That's a clear statement.
Okay.
Well, AJ, that's a clear statement.
Yeah.
Is that all right with you, Mr. AJ?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I mean, I want to be perfectly clear about that. I think that that what we're looking at on a federal basis like that is trying to do the best for our country.
Okay. And I agree with that. Mr. Broden, in some cases, it appears, his stance is almost anti our president. I think he used the term tyranny at one point, referring to our government. Which almost to me seems very radical. But, I would love to have asked him to explain it, but he's not here, so I'm just addressing it. What do you feel about our current...
I appreciate the position you're in.
You're getting lucky today. I would love to know what you think of our current administration.
About our current administration?
Yes, sir.
Well, I recognize that... being a president and establishing an administration is an absolutely breaking job. I can't imagine a person being able to hold up under it. Therefore, I'm a little bit lenient with anybody who has that position. But I think that it has several elements that are contrary to my thinking, and most of that has to do with what you might consider a libertarian view, which I'm sure you're fairly aware of, that basically we think less government is better government.
Okay.
And so I abhor the fact that some people are disrespectful to our president,
mm-hmm.
and although I don't agree with him on very many things, I think he has a hard job. I think we need to be supportive, and I just hope the best for our country and for him personally.
Hmm. Okay, where do you stand on the health care bill? Were you for or against it?
Well, I think it's really a bad bill, or bills, although I haven't read them, and like a lot of other people, and so I'm having to go on what I think I know about it. But by and large, I think we have been off base all the time in putting health care plans a responsibility of some private businesses.
Okay.
So I think from that get-go, you know, just you got to start all over on it. And I would say that the best thing is to let everybody be responsible for their own and just pray that we people who care about others will be generous enough to help take care of them. Now, it's inconceivable to me to think that we have to have a program like this when the hospitals are I believe, mandated to care for anybody that comes in their door. And I know there's a lot of problems with all of that. But we also have a Medicaid program. And so our citizens are not absolutely destitute when it comes to health care.
Okay, AJ?
Well, my question is, you know, because a lot of times people weren't addressing the issues or even talking about what needs to be done in healthcare. So, you know, I'm saying when it was going on in Washington, it was like you had some people talking and some people not doing anything, just waiting to see and hoping it fail. I'm saying, are you one that will participate in the process even if it's something that you're not completely for? Because there's still a lot of people out here without healthcare. So something has to be done.
Well, obviously I will, because I'm a law abider and I'm a supporter of our country and our government, and I will. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't try to change it or tweak it, try to make it better.
Oh, exactly. That's all we can ask for, you know,
sure.
that you participate in it. But what it seemed like to me is that there were so many things that, you know, because everybody said it was voting for change, right? When it was in the height of the political season and everybody was voting for Obama, everybody was voting for change. But when they were talking about the issues, nobody wanted to talk about the issues. There was filibusters and there were people just, you know, using their time to just waste time so the bill couldn't be addressed or passed. And I thought that was a flawed process when so many things need to be done in this economic season.
I agree with you completely.
Okay. Hey, I'm good. So you have another question, Karen?
Beg your pardon?
I said, you have another question for him?
No, I'm going to go a different direction because, again, I'm still hot in Mr. Bergman, and I'm going to put it out there that he was endorsed by the Dallas Morning News. However, the endorsement came late. There was a comment made by one of the writers of the Dallas Morning News before they actually endorsed him, and it said this. It said, it is time for this nonsense and crazy talk to stop. The GOP is playing a very dangerous game here. Hidden in their midst are people who tout themselves as Tea Party activists, but in reality they are only a couple of ammonium nitrate canisters short of being the next Timothy McVeigh. And I definitely wanted to ask Mr. Broden what he thought of that comment. Because I thought that spoke volumes to what they must have been thinking initially. Now, why they decided to endorse him later, I'm not sure. But he made a comment that our nation was founded on violence. But as a Christian, I would think that a pastor would say, when you know better, you do better. So if we were founded on violence, we're smarter now, and we realize that violence has never really resolved anything. And so I definitely wanted to address that with him, but I guess I won't have the opportunity, but I just wanted to put it out there. What do you think of that statement, Mr. Oswald?
Well, I'd just like to read you what I've scribbled down here. About our society.
Okay.
Recognizing that our society is way too violent,
mm-hmm.
verbally and otherwise, and also that a cure doesn't lie wholly in legislation, I will be using any regards I may acquire to help change this aspect of our common life.
Mm. Okay. Let me ask you, there's a lot of areas, 16 total, that are encompassed in the District 30, in District 30, let's just say in District 30, there's 16 areas. That said, that's an awful lot of territory for a newcomer. How do you plan to jump in there and get up to speed? Because there was Fair Park, there was Pleasant Grove, there was so many different areas. There was the downtown Dallas area. How do you plan to handle so many different problems with so many different communities?
Well, it's you put your handwrite on the thing. I consider gerrymandering as a blot on our republic and will work for its demise. Another reason for a major third party.
Mm.
And the point is that I couldn't possibly appeal to every segment of that district, and nobody else can, and there's no need, you know, kidding ourselves about it. But what you do is just do the best you can like anybody else.
Okay, and I can appreciate that. I can appreciate your honesty. Because when I looked at it, I could not believe that the district had so many different areas. There was South Oak Cliff, and there was just, it was just so many different, I'm looking for my notes on it, there was just so many different areas to deal with at one time. So I just wanted to know how you would address that. Let me ask you, Mr. Oswald, how do you think that the U.S. should handle the recent threats by North Korea?
Okay, well, that's, of course, another really difficult thing, but I just have to say that on the face of things, I tend to go towards negotiation rather than confrontation.
I like that. That's the short answer. That's the long answer or the short answer?
That's the short answer. But,
the short answer. Okay. I can appreciate that. What do you think about the immigration issue in Arizona? How do you think they should handle that?
Well, obviously, or maybe not obviously, but I think everybody will understand that the libertarian view is leaning towards states' rights, and it obviously that has to be so if we accomplish our goal of making federal government smaller, then the gap has to be taken up by states. So obviously I think that states have more responsibility and they have more opportunities. Now, I think that there's a real problem with the fact that we apparently, and I'm not all that knowledgeable about it, apparently we cannot let the local law enforcement people help enforce a federal law, which seems totally, just unbelievable to me. So I would certainly work in that direction if I had the opportunity to have some input there.
Okay. AJ?
I'm saying it sounds good. And I like all the things that you're saying. But one thing I'm saying, what do you think about the present, everybody that was associated with the, what do they call, the Tea Party before kind of backed off until now and everybody's having that little association with them. But did you see what the Tea Party was saying in the beginning of their inception and all the negative things they were saying before? And what do you think about that in a political climate like this, to where nobody's actually covering any issues? Everybody's just throwing slander and whatever they can say about somebody's name.
Well, I think I kind of covered that with my statement about what I thought about verbal violence.
Okay.
And
yeah.
And so I certainly. Just because people make those statements, in the end, it doesn't mean they're going to really be that way, fortunately. But I do think that, by and large, a movement to amplify what people feel about their government is a legitimate act of a good citizen.
Okay. We know that Mr. Broden was arrested in 2009. You don't have any arrest records, do you, Mr. Oswald?
No. Do I have any?
Yes, sir.
Personally?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Mr. Broden was arrested, it appears, in 2009 in front of the White House. We would have loved for him to tell us what that was all about, but he's not here. So we can only assume what that must have been about. But that's what our research says, that he was arrested in 2009 in front of the White House. So that we would have loved for him to clear up. because we wouldn't want anybody with arrest records over District 30. I know you're going to kill me, AJ, but I'm just saying. AJ's going to kill me when he gets out.
But he didn't show up, so everything's free game, huh?
Listen, you know what? He just does not know. Absolutely everything is free game. But I'm just putting the information out there, and I absolutely would have given him an opportunity to address every single one of these issues. But, you know, since they're my questions, I'm going to put them out there and let the District 30 constituents decide for themselves what these things are all about, because I don't know. I just found that information out there, and I confirmed that it was true, and I just wanted him to explain what that was all about. Mr.
Oswald, what was your slogan on your campaign?
I wouldn't say I had a theme. A lot of my interest is in developing a third party, so that we have a choice with at least three major parties. And I think that the Libertarian Party has a chance of being that. May I make some statements about that while we're on the subject?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm very interested in having a third major party.
Okay.
I know that the Libertarian Party will soon be it. I think I know that. Will it be perfect? No. Does every member of any party agree with everything the platform implies?
No.
No, I don't think so. And it's the Libertarian Party will be no different than our other major parties, but in the fact that they're not perfect and that even the members will not agree totally on what is said, but I believe it would be very beneficial for our federal form of government to have that third party. It's never happened before, but I believe that it has a chance this time.
Wow. I technically think that there's two people running in this race, and that would be Eddie Bernice Johnson, the incumbent, and Mr. Oswald, because at least they have the wherewithal to honor whatever it is they say they were going to do. Mrs. Bernice Johnson said she was not going to be here, and she did not appear, and Mr. Oswald said he would, and he did. And I totally respect that. I'm just saying, AJ. AJ's going to kill me when we get off the air, but I'm just saying I can respect a man or a woman for their word, and that means more than anything. And if he wants to hide behind his staff, said it, his staff sent it via email, so therefore, I consider it the gospel. Let me ask you, Mr. Oswald, as far as the Tea Party is concerned, some of their views, do you consider them radical in their approach of how they're handling of their dissatisfaction with our administration right now?
Well, certainly some of the utterances by some people who, remember I told you, it's not a real party. It's a movement. And so anybody can take leadership and make comments which they want to imply it applies to everybody in the Tea Party. So some of those comments have just been disgraceful, in my opinion. But again, I say that I'm glad that we have the possibility of expressing dissatisfaction with our government anytime we want to. And that's just part of the greatness of this country. As they say, this form of government is not any good, but it's better than anything else you can come up with.
And I'm in complete agreement because, you know, I spent so much time overseas and in other countries. And when you go somewhere else and you see how their countries work and what you can actually say in that there's no way of being a legal alien or considered legal, because they're going to ask you for all your papers in. If you don't have them, you're going straight to jail. You know, so there's so many things that we do here for the rights of the people that other countries don't have the privilege or even the opportunity to do.
Absolutely right.
And
let me ask you this then, also, Mr. Oswald. A lot of times what the Tea Party is doing, I feel that they're very disrespectful disrespectful to our current administration and our president. So do you agree with some of the things that they've done on the House floor in terms of, you know, while he's speaking, calling him a liar and that type of thing? Do you agree with addressing, you know, the president in that manner?
No, I do not. I think it's disgusting and disheartening that we have that kind of verbal violence.
I agree. And I think that really, if you don't respect the man, at least respect the office. And I think sometimes in the Tea Party's approach, I think it's one thing to be disgruntled, but everybody's grown. There should be a manner in which you do things, and it, especially if Mr. Broden is a preacher, the Bible says do everything decent and in order. So I find it very contradictory, some of the things that he does, versus the fact that he says that he's a pastor. And I really, again, wanted to ask him to explain how that goes, because he's very good at quoting scripture, and he has a master's in communication, but it seems the way that he communicates is often very, it has a very violent overtone, a violent undertone, I guess you should say. And so I'm just very shocked that that's the way a pastor, because I would think that the pastor is always going to be the voice of reason. He's going to be the calm in the middle of the storm. He's going to be the one that tells people what the Bible says and how we should conduct ourselves. So I wanted him to address why he comes off as so angry, why he speaks so openly about violence as a way to resolve things. Why does he feel that we should overthrow our current government? But speaking of that, our current governor, Rick Perry, made a comment about seceding from the union. What did you think of that comment, Mr. Oswald?
I thought it was very childish.
Okay. Were you surprised?
I guess a little bit. But I will say this, that I can hardly talk about Perry Governor Perry, because I am so opposed to incumbents staying in office so long, as you know.
Okay.
So I just can't even countenance that, but he will be elected the governor again. And
so you think he will be reelected?
Oh, no question.
Oh, that's scary. Okay. Okay. I would have thought that Mr. White, Bill White, would be our new governor, but no?
Nope.
It would take a lot of people getting out and going to the polls, and you just don't think in this midterm election they're going to do that?
We're a long way from being a Democratic state again, like we used to be.
That's fair. And, AJ, I think you said that this is just not a Democratic state, right?
Well, I'm saying it's always been a red state. I'm saying you saw it even when in the presidential election, even though, you know, it kind of balanced out. But see, one thing I wanted to say is that, to me, as far as what the Tea Party is actually doing, see, if you think back to the Boston Tea Party, that was the original, you know, change in America, when America decided to go against the grain of change. So to me, they're actually trying to say the same thing that President Obama was saying when he was elected. But so far, there hasn't been any change in their actions in these past 2 years that President Obama's been in elected. They haven't tried to participate on much. They've been, you know, filibustering. They've been, you know, standoffish. They hadn't. I hadn't seen them really work with anything, but I've heard them have a lot to say after something was passed. But I think the Tea Party is just a way for them to say off the books what they really want to say. Because I really, you know, it pains me to say this, but see, in America, we still have, we have prejudice, but we have political correctness and the prejudicial, I guess, way that we treat people. Because we can say whatever we want to say as long as we say it nicely.
May I ask you, Mr. AJ, a question?
Sure.
Do you equate the Republican Party with the Tea Party?
I hadn't at first, but I'm saying, I was looking at Michael Steele. They have a thing on CNN. And he was saying, you know, that there was some problems with the way the Tea Party was addressing things, but this is only coming out now. But there were no problems when they were associated with the Tea Party before all the negative things started reaching the media. But he said, But he also congratulates the Tea Party on, you know, being institutional in bringing about this change, because now they want to be for the people, by the people, and of the people. And I'm saying it just seemed like a complete turnaround to me that they would associate with it for the good of what was said, but then tell them it's bad on what they said. Do you see my point? It's like an oxymoron. It's not working for me. So I'm not saying that they are members of the Tea Party, but a lot of them are members of the Tea Party.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Oswald, yes. What is your stance on supporting this? I believe it's the Second Amendment right to bear arms. What is your stance on that?
Well, that's another toughie, of course, and I have mixed feelings about it. I personally am not a gun person, and I personally abhor the scare tactics that some people are putting out, that we have to arm ourselves to protect us, et cetera, et cetera. But I can understand that fear makes you look at things a certain way. But I would not ban ownership of guns, but I would also try to legislate a reduction of it if it's possible, and try to present a view of let's tone down this idea.
Okay. Well, then stand back, because here comes another tough one.
Thanks a lot.
Well, you know what? You got really thick skin, because you're handling yourself pretty good. What do you think of prayer in the schools? What is your stance on that?
I'm sorry, the question is what?
What do you think of prayer in the schools? Do you think we should put prayer back in the schools?
No, ma'am. No, I don't think that. I'm absolutely a believer in separation of church and state.
Okay.
And so, therefore, I think that Christianity can stand on its own without being legislated.
That's a very
interesting. If it can't, it's not good for the people.
That's a very interesting view on that. And I was
I've only been a serious Christian for about 60 years. So.
Okay, man, you got some practice at it. Do you agree that our economy needs another stimulus package?
No, I don't. At this stage, I'm not saying it won't come about, and I am I'll try not to digress too far, but I'm a product of the Dust Bowl Depression in a little Texas farm. And believe me, if we hadn't had what is clearly socialistic actions by FDR, life would have been much harder for me and my father, and as he tried to raise five children on a sharecropper farm. So it's hard for me to say that government doesn't have some place in this. Now, how you do it, you know, the details, the devil's in the details. And I don't know what's best in that. I would just have to work it at trying to attain some knowledge and vote my conscience.
Okay.
And from that answer, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Okay. In the beginning, when President Obama actually added more money to what was passed by President Bush, do you think that was a necessary action? And I think that's where everything is going with this present election. Everybody's saying that, you know, the overspending of President Obama and all this other thing, but there were some things already in moving forward in that direction before he, you know, I guess before he inherited the problem. So do you think that was a necessary action, or do you think there was a different way to go with that?
Well, I think at the moment it was the thing to do, but
okay.
I don't. I believe I answered this earlier, that I don't think any additional moves need to be made at this time as far as a more stimulus cost.
Okay.
I'm interested to see that we have, again, I'll be trying not to be too verbose, but I think it's amazing that we cannot have the facts. I'm just reading today that the Bush administration put out a lot more money than the Democrats ever have in this thing. And most of us, or most of the people that I hear talk, do not recognize that. And I don't know which is true.
Okay.
Oh, definitely. And see, that's why I asked the initial question, is because, you know, right now, if you hear everything, it seems like that all these things and the wars on Afghanistan and Iraq were enacted by President Obama, and the stimulus package was enacted by President Obama. It's like the Democrats have done all this, but it was all these things were started before President Bush actually left office, and these were inherited things that had to be continued or the action had to cease. But if they were ceased, even if the war or the money, I think the economy would have been affected, and definitely the war would have been affected if it initially came in and just initially pulled out the troops from the beginning.
Well, I agree with you on that.
Mr. Oswald.
Yes.
Our president has been in a little over a year. I think we're about a year and a half mark now. How would you grade his administration?
Well, because I think that it's an impossible job, and certainly it was the whole change of administration was probably as extreme as we've had in a lot of my lifetime in the country. I'd say that he's been a reasonably good administrator of our affairs.
Let's just say I'm going to make sure that the constituents of District 30 gets this tape. What would you say to them today, Mr. Oswald?
Well, you better rephrase that for me, please. I didn't get that.
What would you say to the constituents of District 30 today? Why should they elect you?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked me that. I have a list of pledges. Well, you want to just hear some of them?
Yes, I'd love to hear them.
All right. You already heard I will not serve over two terms.
Yes, you said that.
I will not take retirement benefits.
Okay.
I think that's one of the most ridiculous things at all, to think that our representatives and senators have a retirement program.
Mm-hmm.
I will disclose any personal financial, including contributions, which has been none so far,
mm-hmm.
information that would not hurt my family,
okay.
and maybe even then, depending on the situation, I still might disclose it. I will continue to be a gentleman. My major staff will live and work in District 30.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably promote moving the seat of the federal government out of Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the reason they should vote for me? I don't know.
Okay.
I will probably work towards making parties legal and for popular elections of the leaders of both houses.
Okay.
I will encourage smarter members than I. And I've already referred to gerrymandering. I consider gerrymandering a blot on our republic and will work for its demise, another reason for a major third party.
Okay.
Now, those are some of the reasons that they should vote for me. Now, I would say that if you're concerned about my age, and you should be, I'm 86, you might think that maybe some wisdom comes with that age.
Very true. And I was going there next. You're reading my mind. I agree.
and
I
if you stay with me, you'll find out I can think outside the box.
And my next question was leading that way. But Mr. Broden made a comment that he had plans to phase out Social Security. What do you think of that?
Well, on the face of it, it's a very ridiculous plan, and it, in the first place, it couldn't be done, and if it did, it would absolutely disrupt our whole economic system. And do I like everything about it? No.
Okay. So you had a chance in this race to see who you're running against. What do you think of the people that you're running against? Or do you not want to say?
Well, I'm willing to say, and I don't mean to be ugly or anything like that, but I think that any incumbent that's been in there 18 years needs to let somebody else help out a while.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I think that anybody who has the idea that a violent approach to any of our problems is a good idea is not someone I would want representing me.
You need to speak up. We lost you for a second.
Ma'am?
Okay, we couldn't hear you for a second. You said anybody that does what?
Anybody who advocates a violent approach to solving our problems, I think, is very mistaken.
Okay. And I agree with you totally. And I must say to you today, Mr. Oswald, I'd never met you before, but if I had to vote today and I lived in District 30, you'd get my vote. simply because I think sometimes it's something about being able to come and just stand and answer the questions. Regardless of how things fall, once you answer them, as long as you answer them honestly, that I actually respect. And I must honestly say that I would have voted for you today if I lived in District 30.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I really want to emphasize that a libertarian vote will not be wasted. We need that third party.
And the third party.
And if particularly if you can't go with either the other, then vote libertarian. Thank you.
I appreciate that. So as this race draws to a close, are there any regrets? Are there any misstatements that you'd like to clear up? Is there anything that's happened so far that you know, you were misquoted on that you'd like to clear the air on?
Well, of course, I regret that this survey, which resulted in a voter's guide, which I don't know how well is distributed or used or
mm-hmm.
whatever, but I know it caused some personal things in my own life, friends that thought, you know, because it wasn't a clear, it did not equate with my answers.
Okay, can you clear us all, can you bring us all up to speed as to exactly what you're talking about, because we're not familiar with that.
Okay. The question on abortion, for instance?
Yes, sir.
The question was, ban abortion except where it's necessary to prevent the death of the mother.
Okay.
So I said I was strongly opposed to that.
Okay.
Well, this came out just that I was opposed to an abortion ban, and I was, but there's other aspects to the abortion which makes it necessary that it be not a criminal offense.
Mr. Oswald.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now, there was someone in the chat room that asked, they wanted to know your view on Roe versus Wade, which is similar to the answer that you just gave, but they had just typed it in. So I don't know if they were satisfied. I typed to see if they're satisfied with the answer, but that was a question that they asked. And I told them if you had any questions, I was asked it. So that's just my job here. So.
Okay. So, would I want to do away with the decision out of Roe versus Wade? Is that your question?
Well, no, the question in chat room was, what's his view on Roe versus Wade? That's the whole question.
Well, I am not for banning all abortion. For instance, if a lady is raped, I would think that an abortion was proper. I hope that says what I'm saying.
Is that sufficient answer for the person in the chat room, Aiden?
Well, they say Colorado is proposing an amendment called Personhood. That's establishing a person exists at conception. Would he be for that?
Well, as I already stated earlier in the program, my idea is that the fetus does not become a human being until birth. So conception is not the, it's not the point.
Okay.
I do not believe that you're murdering a human being if abortion takes place before the birth, which is the only time it could, of course.
Mr. Oswald, tell us
yes.
a little bit about yourself. I understand you're a husband and a father, correct? Grandfather?
No, I am a stepfather.
Your stepfather.
I married into a family that war with a family who had a 14-year-old son.
Okay, so you're a husband and a stepfather.
Yes, right.
Okay.
And as you know, I'm 86.
You're 86.
I'm in good health.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm 30.
You told me that. Okay.
And
this
I really
an
do.
Year
I know
old
that my,
like he's 30. Okay.
I know that my endurance, et cetera, is not all that good, or even my mind that good, but I feel very competent to represent a District 30 and do a great job for them. And I've pointed out some of the things that I would look at and some of my views. I would say that I've had a marvelous life. I've been blessed. I served 3 years in service during World War II and took advantage of the GI Bill to go to college, which was probably, it would have been iffy if I could have made it without that.
And you have a degree in?
Industrial management was my field. And I've worked mostly as an industrial engineer in aircraft production.
Okay, we're going to go to the phone line, 631-576. Good afternoon. Welcome to Center Stage.
Hi, this is 3D. That's in the chat room.
Okay.
I have some clarifications. He says, you know, the baby's not a person until after it's born, correct? That's his opinion, right?
Mr. Oswald can speak for himself. Mr. Oswald?
I cannot hear her, so you'll have to repeat for me.
Okay, repeat your question to him one more time.
Okay, basically, a person's not considered a person until the delivery, until the birth, correct?
Yes. That's,
okay,
that's my...
so this is where there's a lot of problems because in the judicial system, people have been going to jail for murder. If the baby comes out dead, the mother might be sentenced to something, or even a spouse if they actually do something, do harm to the baby. So we have this judicial system that's not consistent. So how would you really specify that?
Yes.
You can't have people wanted in one state and then not wanted as a baby in another. So how can a person go for murder if the woman's 5 months pregnant and is stillborn because, let's say, of an assault?
Well, I recognize your question there, and I recognize that it's a difficult question, and I cannot square away every problem in my mind with everything. But that's just the way I feel about it. And I think that if you do consider that the unborn child is a human being, then you're going to have a lot more problems than we currently have. And if people have gone to jail for that alone or been maybe even executed, then that was
not
wrong.
Executed, but they have gone for murder, yes.
Okay, and maybe it was for abuse rather than for actually killing the baby. Is that possible?
No, it's actual murder charges. For example, I know the law today, so it does make a difference what my opinion is on Roe v. Wade. It is the law of the land.
Yes.
So when we turn around in some spot in parts of America and you say, oh, this is murder now to a pregnant woman, I mean, what kind of judicial activism is this? There's just no rhyme or reason for anything. So that's pretty sad by itself.
Yes.
And I mean, you can go on forever, but
yes,
if it's illegal, if it's not considered a person, in New Jersey, for example, if the baby's born, I don't know exactly, forget that. But it's just crazy.
Well,
so you disagree with his view, is that what you're saying, Colin?
Ma'am,
well,
I, agree.
I was asking her, Mr. Oswald, is she saying she disagrees with your view and you're upset that he disagrees with you?
Well, no, I like consistency. I'm personally pro-life.
Okay.
And that's why and I understand the law today. It's okay to have pretty much an abortion all the way up until delivery. I mean, even today, you can almost have it in your third month. And what they do with the partial birth abortion, I just can't believe in a civilized world that we have this. And there's no criminality to it. So it's just a little odd. And if you know what a partial birth abortion is,
yes.
I don't think nobody would approve of that. And it's not like it's whatever. It's not.
Yeah. You're not going to ever find, and one thing I want to put out there to the voters, you're never going to find a candidate that's going to be 100% in agreement with everything you think. But voting is about picking the best of what you have. So that's all I'm saying. So, you know, there's probably not going to be a candidate that you can line up that you're going to find, if you had 10, one that's going to agree with everything. But you pick the guy who thinks most like you. Can you agree with that, caller?
No, I don't. I personally don't. But I have another question for him.
Okay.
You know, the national debt is pretty much the main concern for America's future. I mean, the huge national debt that we have. What's a real plan to get that whole thing down? For example, our beginning started with small business. And right now, 50% of our GDP comes from small business. And I think small business will become a dinosaur one day and almost extinct. So how do we get more small business into America? How do we bring down the national debt when we're so hostile to small business? And a small business is consisting of 500 people or less, employees or less.
Well, may I ask you, you do think that our administration is hostile to small business?
It's not this administration. It has been. You know, if you look at the decline, I mean, think about it. When we first were founded in America, there was no major corporation and there was no major government. So basically, it was really the agricultural industry and, you know, the small business. But now we have three players: big government, big corporation, and small business. And,
do you live in District 30?
No.
Okay.
Okay. I saw Stephen Broden's name. I just wanted to hear him, see what he had to say.
You too? I think we were very much anticipating what Mr. Broden would have to say too, but we did not get that opportunity, and we don't like it very much. Let's just say that. But caller, thank you very much for your call. Mr. Oswald.
Yes.
You want to address what the caller asked, or you want to address your comment?
Well, it's an awfully complicated situation, but we need to recognize, that corporations have a place as well as small business. Mm-hmm. And we're no longer going to be an agrarian population, we're not going to be a mom-and-pop economy.
Okay.
And so I think all you have to do is just try to work the best you can with that situation. However, having said that, I do think that the concept of a corporation being a person needs to really be looked at, and perhaps some changes of that concept put in place.
Okay, here we go. Take a deep breath, Mr. Oswald. What do you think of the death penalty?
Oh, the death penalty. Well, I'm afraid I'm a legalistic there and think that there is a real need for the existence of the death penalty.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Can you repeat that?
Yes, I feel that there is a need for a death penalty.
Really? Okay.
In our society.
Okay, and is there a certain level, the degree? I mean, you want to explain that or expound on it? Well, you don't have to. I'm just I think I wasn't expecting that answer. Can you give us a little insight into that answer?
Well, are you saying, do I want to define what crimes are?
Yeah, like, you know, is rape punishable by death penalty, or is murder punishable by death penalty? Where do we draw the line? Should 16-year-olds go to the death? I'm just asking.
Oh, well, I would not put to death for a rape normally unless there's some extenuating circumstances.
Okay.
I would for most all capital crimes, murder.
Okay.
As far as age goes, that's a very difficult situation, and I think by and large I would not support death penalties for anyone younger than what we consider legal age, which is 18 these days.
Okay. AJ, do you have any questions? We're down to our last 10 minutes. AJ Houston, we're down to our last 10 minutes.
AJ?
Okay. Mr. Oswald,
yes.
I think you've shown great courage today. I really do. I respect
you
totally for your approach in the way you handle the questions, in the way that you showed up, in the way that you were honest and forthcoming about whatever your views was, because I really do believe the election process is not a matter of choosing someone who's going to think exactly like you, because I don't think that's possible. But I think it's about choosing the person that most think like you. And I think you told us that you were a Christian. It seems like you told us that you were a family man. You know, you're a degreed person. You're retired. You promised, from what I understand, to work hard for District 30.
Right.
Have I misquoted anything that you said so far?
No, I don't believe you have. And will you grant me just a moment or two to ride on my hobby horse just a little bit?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. One of my very important interests is the drug problem.
Okay.
And I have an absolute solution for our drug problem, which would take effect in a fairly short time. And it's just as simple as everything. If our society, and I realize that, you know, just saying this and even the laws change and not going to make this happen and all that, but the fact is that if our society would have a change of mind
mm-hmm.
about the consumption of the world's worst drug,
mm-hmm.
which is C2H5OH, alcohol, if we would change our views about that, our drug problem would go away in a few years. Period.
Okay. So you think it would go away?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to leave one last comment because I'm still hot under the collar, and I'm going to admit it, and I'm going to leave the District 30 constituents one thing. What's your thing? I don't agree with what Eddie Bernice Johnson did, but I think accountability is important, and she did pay back the $31,000 for it. So for that, you know, it is what it is. As far as Mr. Brogan is concerned, anytime we're looking at it in this country, too many pastors that are not passing the smell test on their behavior. We know, and I'm not going to call names, of one big one that's in the news right now. We should not keep giving them the okay to do whatever it is that they want to do or say whatever it is that they want to say. They are accountable to God and to us. And I'm going to quote what Mr. Broden said, and I, again, would have given him the opportunity to make some clarity on what he meant, but since he's not here, I'm going to state it. He said that he would not rule out violence as a way to overthrow our government if this election did not produce a change in leadership. In my opinion, that type of rhetoric is never acceptable, ever acceptable. We can't tell our teenagers not to be violent, and we as adults are violent. And so District 30, decide what you will, but I really think you only have two candidates to choose from because a revolution is not what we need in this country. And so that said, Mr. Broden, I did give you an opportunity to speak for yourself. So you were not here, so I took the opportunity to only put the comments that you put out there. And the constituents of District 30 can decide for themselves. But Mr. Oswald, you have been the perfect gentleman today. You definitely stepped up to the plate and took on every question. And I got to respect that. I absolutely got to respect that. I'd like to thank you today for showing up and being my guest when the other two didn't. And we're going to be watching this race very closely. And we wish you luck. You know, I think you are probably the underdog, but who knows? You never, ever know. In a race like this, because it's a hot race, and you got several issues on the table. As I said, what Miss Johnson did, and what Mr. Broden has said, are going to cause the voters to have to think very hard about who they choose. And so you are an underdog, but who knows?
Thank you.
In our final 5 minutes, do you want to say anything else to the constituents of District 30?
No, I just really appreciate being on the air, and I hope that I have been some encouragement to everybody in making difficult decisions. And if the voters can see fit, I would, you know, think it was really strange to have someone that doesn't live in my district to represent me, but stranger things have happened, and so I welcome your support.
Absolutely. On behalf of AJ and myself, we encourage everyone to get out and vote. Many have died in the struggle for us to have this right, so we definitely don't want to take it for granted. Remember, no vote is a vote. And again, Mr. Oswald, thank you for being my guest. And to our audience, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.